You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Executive Lounge time, and this week I'm joined in studio by my executive for the week. That is Sydney Mbele. He is the Group Chief Marketing and Corporate Affairs Officer at the APSA Group, and he joins me to take a look at what he does at APSA and what he doesn't do at APSA. Good evening, Sydney. Thanks so much for taking the time. You're a chartered marketer of South Africa. It's a designation that you've held. And how did you get into marketing, and why marketing, I suppose?
Greetings to you, Jimmy. Greetings to the listeners. I talk a lot about the business that I, or the brand that I represent. It's a bit awkward to talk about yourself. You know, it's often we never reflect on the journey that we've traveled. And maybe just to kick off on that question, I started my career in sales, and it was by, pure chance that I got into sales. I was recruited by an organization called Simba, which is part of the Frito-Lay International Group, based in the U.S. I was one of five graduates that were recruited that year for a graduate placement program. And essentially what they were going to do is train us over 3 years, go through some level of exposure across the different functions. And then after 3 years, you would then choose an area of interest where you'd like to actually grow your career as a junior manager in that area. But for some reason, the prior year before we joined, after we had completed our studies, they didn't fund the program because Frito-Lay International had performed badly the year before. So the funding was pulled, and we're given opportunities to apply for roles in the organization. And they gave us a list of all jobs that were available, entry-level jobs. And because there was five of us, we were all choosing what we thought could be the job that we could do, essentially for people with no experience. But when I looked at that list, I thought, geez, this is not why I'm here. I asked the HR guy to give me a list for people with experience. And he said to me, no, but why do you want to see the list of people with experience when you don't have experience? And I said, no, I just want to see where my career is likely to end up, which would determine what I choose from this list that you've given us. So he reneged, and at some point he gave me the list. And I looked at the role that I thought was an interesting job that I could do in the future. It needed someone with 8 years working experience and 5 years management experience. And I requested to talk to the recruiting manager, the hiring manager for the role. And to cut a long story short, he was in the building. I managed to have a chat to him. And 45 minutes later, he gave me the job.
Without the 8 years of experience?
No experience whatsoever, straight from university. I became the regional sales manager running Simba for the whole of Free State. So that's how my career kicked off. You know, high impact. I was young, 22, 23. And I looked after a significant portion of the business. And yeah, that's how my career started. And while I was in sales, I got to interact with a lot of the people from the organizations that I worked for who were in marketing. And I started to develop an interest in marketing because I thought, geez, okay, yes, I can get this sales thing, which I did very well. But here's the thing that I think sort of connects with my interest point. And I had not been exposed to marketing before. You know, so it was live action, and I then got the opportunity to move into marketing from that perspective.
Thrown off the deep end, quite nice. So what do you enjoy most about what you do now? So fast forward from Sydney the graduate to Sydney the group CMO of a company, and group CMO of one of the largest banks in the country. What do you enjoy most about what you do now?
You know, Jimmy, I make the point that we don't all have to work for government to make a difference in society. And the job that I have gives me an incredible privilege to be able to impact humanity. To be able to make decisions about an organization, a business that cohabitates in a society, yet is able to make a difference in the calls that we make in terms of the kind of products that we give people that help them either financial literacy or the kind of articulation that we have on our brand. You know, we've just launched a new positioning that says your story matters, you know, which is actually nothing at a face value to do with APSA, because it's just a recognition that we see and understand that each and every one of us have a story. And that story just needs to be unearthed, needs to be extracted, needs to be, you know, fortified, needs to be empowered for it to become something of meaning. So while it may be a job that I get paid to do, it suddenly then crosses the lines of mission, vocation, because suddenly I'm giving people hope about what, you know, the future can unfold for them, for their families, for their communities, for their companies, if they're running a small business, or if you run a big business, the kind of transformational projects that you can implement to change society and where society goes. So that gives me an incredible amount of fulfillment.
Speaking of fulfillment and impact and making a positive change beyond your day-to-day, beyond your APSA hat and all of that, you've also co-founded a unique nonprofit called Mentor a Boy Child. You sit as the chairman and as a co-founder on that nonprofit. Do you want to tell us more about that? And
you know, in my early days of being in sales, and then in marketing, you know, you do a lot of sort of trade visits. You go to the townships to look at how your product is, you know, merchandised and reflected on the shelves of spaza shops or supermarkets, etc. And in my travels, I used to wonder what would happen to our society when you're driving into a township or a peri-urban area and the streets are just flooded at 10 a.m. with all of these men unemployed, or sometimes young men loitering the streets. You know, it just reminds you of the scourge that we have in this country, where people are not always preoccupied with generating productivity, either for themselves going to school or for society, for the economy going to work. And for me, there was always a time bomb that if we don't deal with the scourge of unemployment, which of course it's a generational thing to get to, but really in its ideation, where it starts, the premise of it is this is often, particularly with males, young men who get off the rails at a very young age, do not complete high school, therefore, you know, sort of rule themselves out of being in the mainstream economy in terms of, you know, contributing to the society in a productive way. And that has many more ramifications in a nucleus family, whether it's these things that we talk about, GBV, femicide, or whether it's these social ills related to crime, and the list continues. So it was very clear to me that if we don't invest our time and energy in thinking about how we help young men become, young boys become better men for society, you know, that we are just sitting on a time bomb, essentially. So I co-founded Mentor a Boy Child, which really seeks to, you know, help contribute. I'm sure you would be familiar with that famous quote. I think it was Winston Churchill, if I'm not mistaken, but it could have been somebody else, who says, ask not what your country can do for you, you know, and it calls upon all of us to take the initiative and the proactive initiative to do something when we see a gap that maybe government is not fully identifying or fully providing, intervening, you know, sort of programs to try and remediate the circumstance. So for me, it was about, you know, in my environment to try and make that contribution in helping young boys to become better men in society.
Sydney, what's your all-time favorite movie?
A Scent of a Woman.
Okay.
Al Pacino.
It's interesting.
Because there's a part of the movie where he gets to protect this young man who is in high school. And he gives this young man, because of his intervention, that enables him a second chance when he was on the verge of being expelled. And all of us in society, even in my state today, if I look at my journey, there were many moments where things could have gone the other way. And someone took a chance on me, either gave me an opportunity or defended me in some way. And, you know, when people go through those bad moments in their lives, it is the responsibility of all of us around them to hold their hands, to pull them out of the hole, get them to dust themselves, and to reframe, you know, a new journey for themselves. And so that's the favorite part of the movie for me, with Al Pacino.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
Interesting question. I'm not a big pet person, but if you have to put me into a corner, I'd probably go dog.
Yeah, no, cats have a bit of a strange relationship with humans.
Strange relationship with
humans. As I say that, my producer gives me the evil eye because she has a cat. Sydney, what's your guilty pleasure at the end of a long week or at the end of a long day? What's the one thing you go to and you're like, you know what, I've earned this today?
Music in the backdrop, a glass of Shannon, of course, measured quantities, of course, because we need to be productive the next day. And there's not just nothing that kind of soothes my soul, that helps me to sort of debunk from the realities of life than music. I have a playlist with probably now over 15,000 songs.
Wow.
Across genres. And often when I congregate with friends or I'm invited to intimate gatherings with family, you know, I'm the DJ. I'm the DJ.
You've got every song.
I've got everything from gospel to jazz to Afro beats to amapiano to R&B to Motown to pop to, you know, everything you can think about, fusion. And I love music so much. I guess that's my place of comfort.
What would you say is your favorite destination that you've traveled to?
Yeah, maybe a little bit boring for many. But one thing that I love is going to New York. The hustle and the bustle and people just getting about their business, not worried about, you know, who's looking at them or who's watching them, who's judging them, you know, and I just love the melting pot of action. I love the melting pot of energy. And there's a passion about it, you know. So every time I come back from New York, I'm fulfilled, I'm driven, I'm rejuvenated, because it's a city that is, you know, on the move, you know. And I wish, you know, I could reflect that myself. And a man, you know, someone said, I think it was a Johnny Walker campaign that said, the world steps aside for the man who knows where it's going. And I think we lack a lot of that. There's a deficit of action in society. There's a deficit of, you know, confidence and doing things and changing things and transforming the world, for ourselves and for others. And New York is such a representation that is so apt for me on that.
What inspires you about South Africa?
That despite all the negative things that surround us, we don't lose our humanity. We don't lose our humor. It almost feels like a cliche when people talk about Ubuntu, the spirit of Ubuntu. You almost want to talk about it when you're talking to foreigners because they're not so familiar with the concept. It almost feels like every time I do that, it feels like the first time I'm explaining the spirit of Ubuntu. When you talk to South Africans, because the word is so bastardized, it's somewhat lost its meaning. But if, when you look much deeper beyond the surface of just who we are as South Africans, you know, we are just good people who mean well, who laugh at things that, you know, should essentially maybe put others to depression. Mm-hmm. But we gain a lot of strength from that. And that, even in times when things seem so impossible, you know, we make it possible. And there's many examples, whether it's the elections in 1994, you know, on the downside, when the, on the upside, it's the 2010 World Cup, hosting that when there was so much doubt and critique about our readiness. We are just such a society that is built on the bedrock of resilience, you know, and we are now looking up to upcoming elections in a few months. And I think there's a lot of moving parts, and what the commentators are saying in terms of the shifts that are happening in the political sphere. But one thing I can guarantee is that as a society, we are going to pull through.
We certainly are a unique people. We will leave it at that, Sydney. Thank you so much for coming through. That's Sydney Mbele, who is the Group Marketing and Corporate Affairs Officer at the APSA Group, joining me this week for our Executive Lounge.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.